Hey, if you're invested in the Las Vegas mayoral race, and really we should all be, you're going to want to check out the Nevada Independent Mayoral Forum on Wednesday, May 15th at the Fountain Blue. The Indy CEO, John Ralston, will be moderating a live panel with the three frontrunners. You know, it could get spicy, so don't miss it. Tickets are available at thenevadaindependent.com/events. And as a bonus for CityCast Las Vegas members, we've got two pairs of tickets we're giving away tonight. So make sure to join at membership.citycast.fm if you haven't already.
My co-host, David Figler, loves the Circus Circus Casino. I'd never been inside, but I always found the exterior a little creepy. So today on CityCast Las Vegas, David dragged me to Circus Circus. And you know what? I actually had a pretty good time. It's Monday, March 25th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. So we know Circus Circus is one of the older properties on the Strip.
Still standing, yes.
Still standing, built by the guy, same guy who did Caesars.
Correct, Jay Sarno.
Already on the strange north end of the Strip.
Yes.
And it's covered in clowns.
All true.
And yet, David.
Yes.
You love it.
Yeah. Did you say something just there that made me feel bad about loving it?
Can you tell me why you love Circus Circus so much, David?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons. I will say this. It came about in a time of sort of new innovation, if you will. In other words, after the success of Caesar's Palace, Jay Sarno and his partner Stan Malin got to do a second one, right?
They were going to make it like a Roman circus, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the idea. But, you know, just the idea is that they had a success with their first property. Let's go try something new. And they did. And that was a time in Las Vegas when, you know, I want to say that a lot of the casinos were kind of following the same format. Circus Circus broke the mold. In a lot of ways, so did Caesar's Palace and the way that they presented the facade.
Because it's Western-themed casinos or, like, luxury casinos, like the Flamingo Tropicana.
So when it opened, it originally opened as a casino only, not a hotel, which was kind of a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all the craziness that was kid forward,
yeah.
But there were some exceptions in the beginning. There's some stuff that was like kid accessible, but maybe not so kid friendly. There was a lot of sexy in there as well, which, you know, was definitely different. They definitely pushed boundaries.
But why do you like it?
Okay, so I've been going there since I was 4 years old,
aww,
which is the early 70s. And so there's a nostalgia thing for me as well. There's also this kind of appreciation that while it has taken on some changes, I'm going to say mostly for the worse over the decades, It stays kind of the same sort of weirdness.
Yeah.
Not as intense as before. So it's nostalgia, also with appreciation that it kind of has stuck with what they do best. In a lot of ways, it's still a magical place. There's a lot of anomalies in there. There's a lot of juxtapositions, good, bad, and bizarre. Circus Circus persists. I mean, it's been there since 1968, which for us is ancient history.
Ancient. Okay, well, I will like say that we went on the day that we went on because there was actually a really special event. Do you want to set the scene of that a little bit?
Oh, sure. And this is kind of interesting, too. So somewhere along the way, Circus Circus did, in fact, build its hotel. But they also acquired this building that was next to them. And it was dubbed Slots of Fun.
Oh, so originally a separate casino, then became an extension of Circus Circus.
Yeah, I remember Slots of Fun being there fairly early on. Slots of Fun opened in 1971, so a few years after Circus Circus. And it was, at the time, and still is, one of the smaller casino properties on the Strip. Originally, it was just, as I recall, packed with gaming devices and tables and snack bar and the whole thing. I mean, it was definitely an extension of the carnival-like atmosphere. And as low rent as people like to think Circus Circus is or has become, Slots of Fun was always a lot less.
The physical space reminded me of like a Chuck E. Cheese if you took all the stuff out of it. That was sort of it.
Yeah, it was pretty vacant. To their credit, and I'm going to say a lot of the credit has to go to a person named Veronica Gutierrez, who's the public relations coordinator for mass media here in town. They sent out a press release that captured my attention. I shared it with the team, and we wound up going over there, and that they were doing this, what was described as a revamp of the Slots of Fun, which had fallen into, I will just say, grave disrepair, or at least it wasn't on anyone's radar. And somehow they magically got not just me, but someone like you, Sarah, interested.
Oh my God.
In going there and seeing what they were doing.
So let me give you a direct quote, because when we went to this event, I introduced Shayna. I'm sorry, I don't remember Shayna's last name. She's the new manager.
She was the GM or something, yeah.
Yeah, the GM of the space. And she'd been with Circus for a while, but they moved her to Slots of Fun. And she came up with this idea that she wanted to make a throwback casino, which of course I'm amped about, because David, I don't remember what episode this was, but you asked me like what I wanted to see out of a casino of the future. And I was like, I actually want to see a casino of the past.
Oh, yeah.
And so while the Slots of Fun isn't the full like throwback 1950s Mad Men Queen's Gambit casino that I want.
They could have gone way, way more.
I'm still loving it.
Yeah.
So first of all, Shayna told me, quote unquote, that she needed to get that creepy vibe out of it. So I'm going to say, point to the Circus detractor over here, because she admitted it. And so then her suggestion to her management was like, let's make it all vintage coin operated slot machines.
The buckets, the coin buckets.
It's noisy. It's celebratory. I hit some jackpots. And like when those quarters were clanking out, I was really like, yeah, it was thrilling.
Oh, look, it was brilliant marketing. I don't think that they pulled off the revamp of bringing you back to the era. And I don't know if even going back to the era is particularly advisable, but it was definitely fun. It was cheeky and it was fun. They could do a whole lot more.
Listen, one of the other fascinating things that Shayna told me was that they currently have 75 coin-operated slot machines.
Right.
There's like $5 ones, $1 ones, and 25-cent ones. They have bought out every available coin-operated slot machine in Las Vegas. They even bought some in Colorado, and they're still trying to get more. They just haven't been able to find them yet.
Because there's still a lot of empty space in that space.
Yes, yes, yes. And so they do want to fill it up. There's so many things about that space that haven't changed since 1973. And I love that instead of revamping it, they just left it. I was also told the sound system went in 1973 and has not changed.
And those air filtration systems, which were inoperable, were still present.
Yes. And the soundtrack, I don't know if you noticed, but they're only playing songs from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, that's cute. I did notice some rump shaking to some disco beats. So yeah, that was my own rump, by the way.
So does it look like a casino inside? Yeah, I mean, it looks like a room with an incredible carpet. This carpet is the best carpet I have seen in Clark County, hands down.
And it was clean. It was clean.
As clean as it's going to get.
I mean, that's the thing, is like Slots of Fun and cleanliness have never been said in the same sentence until now.
It seemed fresh,
it was
though.
Definitely clean and fresh in there.
It seemed fresh and fun.
And they had a sign up that said no cigar smoke. So another point for them.
Yes.
I am glad it exists. And I'm glad we were invited to that media event. And I'm glad that media event was the impetus for me getting to bring you to share what I like to call my circus.
So that was the entry point. I freaking love Slots of Fun. I'm definitely going to take every visitor I have, because they're always asking about real coin slots.
Really? I am shocked.
I mean, I loved it, David. This is what everybody asks me for.
You don't have the frame of comparison. No. I want so much more there.
I want more, but I think it's going to come in a different space. I still want that 50s casino, but I am loving this like slightly sleazy, drab, but fun, joyful space.
Ding, ding, ding. You love the ding, ding, clang, clang.
I love the ding, ding. We both saved our Circus like $1 chip, not chips, like coin.
Token.
Token.
They're called tokens.
Yeah. And also I took my mom. My mom joined us this morning.
Oh my God. Karen, your mom, who I instantly fell in love with, by the
Legend.
Way. Now I've adopted her as another new mom of mine.
She's so lovable.
She got interviewed by other media that was there, and now she's a superstar.
She is so fun and funny. She's genuine national treasure.
You're welcome, Las Vegas. CityCast Las Vegas and Sarah Lohman have introduced you to the wonderment that is her mom.
What a lovely sound.
That was perfect.
We also need to shout out Belinda.
Oh my gosh, the cocktail waitress. She was amazing.
The cocktail waitress who's been working at Circus for 37 years. Belinda, she looked amazing, David.
In every respect. I mean, she's exactly what you want to see on a seasoned cocktail waitress in Las Vegas. She had the sass.
So much sass.
She had the style.
Hair. The glitter. She had bling on her tips cup.
And she had a really, really positive attitude, and she was great.
So hilarious. You two are really riffing on your memories of that space.
Kudos to them to not allow Slots of Fun to just fade into the dustbin of the strip's history, but are making one last go at it. I say bully, bully.
I think it's great. I can't believe it survived. I had an amazing time there.
I'm glad you did.
I really did.
I'm glad that was our entry into the Circus Circus experience, because by extension, it is part of Circus Circus.
It is. And, you know, to be fair, we were there in the morning, but after Slots of Fun, we made our way to Circus Circus proper. You did sort of paint a picture for me of what the outside was like, but I will say, because we were there before noon, the inside of Circus Circus did seem particularly bleak at that time of day. Would you agree with that? It was pretty empty.
Yes. I'm not going to disagree with any of your observations of Circus Circus.
It was so quiet compared to Slots of Fun because they had moved all of the coin slots out.
Yeah.
And so that had this really like rowdy atmosphere even that early. But like I hadn't realized like how controlled the sounds are on digital slots. But that's beside the point. You did point out the murals there, which are these like 3D, very 70s circus murals.
They've been there for a while. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
The circles of Circus Circus, right? Just how there's so much of the design is built on different levels of essentially, you know, a merry-go-round experience, and how even you walk up to the mezzanine on a ramp that curves.
Yeah. So noticing, pointing out the design of the space, that was cool for me. However, even in its heyday, Circus Circus was described by Hunter S. Thompson.
Of course, famously.
Famously, to fit into his sort of like psychedelic nightmare in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Well, and then the infamous quote.
Go. Do you have note offhand?
I'm going to just say it by memory and then we'll see how close I am.
Okay.
Circus Circus on a Saturday night is what the entire HEP world would be doing had the Nazis won the war.
Oh, my God.
How close did I get?
Oh, that's it? No, you nailed that first line, David. The ground floor is full of gambling tables like all other casinos, but the place is about four stories high in the style of a circus tent, and all manner of strange county fair / Polish carnival madness is going on up in this space. Okay, so we were there too early for an actual circus act. I would go back and see that.
Hey, it's David Figler, and one of my favorite food festivals is coming back to town. It's Vegas Unstripped over at the Palms Hotel on Saturday, May 18th. Over 24 chefs from some of Las Vegas's most talked about restaurants creating original, unique menu items they've never made before. Chef creativity at its best. We're talking chefs from Partage, Esther's Kitchen, Milpa, EDO, and more, including this year's James Beard Award finalist Steve Kessler from Aroma. Tickets are $150 and are all-inclusive of food and drink, so you don't have to pay for anything once you're inside. No hidden upcharges. I went last year, and it was so crowded in the best possible way. We got one remarkable dish after another, and while it was a little indulgent, here's the best part. The net proceeds go to local charities. So head on over to VegasUnstripped.com to get your tickets now. We'll see you there.
We actually spent most of our time in the county fair / Polish carnival part, which was also chill because it had just opened.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, Sarah. It was a mere shadow of what it was in its 70s heyday of the kind of energy that was up there. Yeah. But still, we had fun, though. Did we not have fun on the mezzanine?
We had a great time. You, me, and Karen.
From skee ball to the little game where you squirt the water into the clown's mouth? Come on.
These are games I never won at my county fair in Ohio, and we walked out with an armful of stuffies, so they know how to keep you coming back and spending your nonsense money.
Yeah.
But I think this area was really important to you because this is where you spent most of your wayward teenage years, David Figler.
Yes, and single-digit years as well.
Really? Tell me about a typical night on the Midway, which is what it's called, when David Figler was, let's say, 14 years old.
Oh, my God. So, well, let's see. I lived about two blocks away from Circus Circus. So I had friends who actually worked on the mezzanine. And so we would just kind of hang out with them. You would see other middle school kids kind of walking around as well. It was probably a good mix of tourist kids and locals, especially in the early evenings or and sometimes late evenings. I will say that I did note this time around there were definitely curfew signs up, and I think those have been up for decades, but my time preceded the curfew times.
They said no one under 18 unaccompanied by an adult. No more wayward youths up there. But David, give us some tea. Like, what is some of the crazy stuff? Were you up there flirting? Were you up there what?
Oh, we tried. We were very unsuccessful with that. I mean, look at me now. Finally coming into my own.
The player of Las Vegas.
God, please. Anyway, no, we would just hang out and have fun and we play games. Now, some of my friends set had a more larcenous streak.
You showed me the naughty door to the naughty room.
Yeah. So that's kind of a funny story, too, in that some of my friends would steal stuffed animals. And they would always get busted with greed when they would go for, like, the big ones, like the ones that were taller than you, the best prize, and they would try to, like, pull them off the wall or something. Anyway, circuses used to have crackerjack security. So whenever they would get busted, and it would normally happen, I mean, they never followed the immediate principle, which is steal small where they're not looking and then trade up, because you could trade up the toys. At any rate, so they would be dragged down to the security office on the first floor, and by all accounts, they would have their... And this never happened to me. I mean, I'm not just saying that because I'm saying that, but it never happened to me. But by all accounts, they would have a Polaroid taken of them, and it would be put on the wall, and they would be told that they have been banned for life from Circus Circus.
Well, we'll put you up by the naughty door also on our Instagram. I mean, there were kids and there were families there, like, especially in the Midway.
Yeah, it's family friendly, and it's been very sanitized from the days when they used to have a game where if you threw a baseball at the target and you hit it, a sheet on a bed would roll down and there would be a half-naked woman underneath. Like, those games don't exist anymore. That was, like, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Also, you know, there were, like, very adult things up there. There was, again, made famous probably in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, there was the horse around bar.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like another merry-go-round bar that now is an ice cream place.
Yeah. Like, it move. It's a moving platform. It's an ice cream place now, but it used to be like...
You can watch the circus up there.
Yeah. And you could see a trapeze very well. And it used to be a liquor place. And I've gone there as an adult when it was still operating as a bar. And you'd just be, you know, like, boozing it up, watching the circus act. Kids running around on the other side. I mean, it was a very adult kid equal space, if you will, on a certain level. But of course, you know, that's not something that can happen in the 21st century.
Well, we didn't even hit the Adventure Dome, you know, which is attached to Circus Circus and, like, is a kid space.
Yeah. And Adventure Dome came online in the 90s. And it's a theme park. It is an actual theme park with roller coaster rides indoor and the whole thing. And it's a lot of fun. Look, in the early aughts, I used to spend a lot of time there because my dear friend Ginger Bruner, who's also been on the podcast, was going through I don't want to call it a phase to diminish it. She really wanted to be a clown at some point. and she was good at it, really good at it. She's a top-notch juggler and, of course, tuba player, and just she's a Renaissance chick. So we would actually spend hours upon hours just hanging out at the Adventure Dome and over in the Circus Circus space with the clowns. And these were world-class clowns, many of who had been trained at Ringling, who had traveled across the world, and who landed in Las Vegas with a very sweet gig. And they were so good at what they did.
We're still a big circus city with Cirque du Soleil.
We really are. We really are.
Why do you think that all Las Vegans should love and appreciate Circus Circus?
You know, beyond what we've already talked about, it is a touch of weirdness and edginess that maybe doesn't exist in corporate casinos anymore. And it does kind of have that sort of, like, we're different vibe, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, upstairs is the crappy stuffed animals and the weird little games that we had fun playing, but, like, you know, aren't for everybody. And then you get weird little, like, things like the steakhouse, which is considered in many circles to still be a very high-end steakhouse. It's gotten a lot of awards over the years, and it's still an experience. And even though I feel personally that the quality of the steakhouse doesn't necessarily live up to its hype and price point, it's still a great experience going in there, getting a martini the size of a baby and, you know, aged meat and being served by guys in bow ties. And, you know, it's Circus Circus, man. It's universally one of the cheapest places on the Strip to stay at. I think that's still true. And it's just weird enough for people to enjoy. Did I convince you, Sarah? Are you going back to Circus Circus? That's the big question.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Because we were there too early to catch a circus show, I would go back to the space on like a Saturday night, like as late as I can. I want to get some real weird. I want to like sit and drink and watch the circus act. I would absolutely do that. I am definitely going back to slots of fun, but I think that this place is special to you because of your connection. It's like a friend from high school that if you met him now, you'd be like, this guy's an asshole. But because you've known them for 40 years, like you're still friends with them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. That's a T-shirt. You should give that to the PR people. Circus, circus. Like, it's like an old friend who turned out to be an asshole, but you still want to hang out.
You've got this long-term relationship. It's different. I think that's what it is for you. So no, I wasn't as enchanted, but I did enjoy my day with you and my mom. Yeah. And like, especially the walkthrough where I got to hear like your stories of what this meant to you when you were a kid. That was a really special experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a million more. And you know, you mentioned it, Sarah, and I can't let it pass because of your connection with all things food and how daring you are. We walked by the Circus Circus Buffet. It wasn't in operation at the time we walked by. It wasn't. But just for science and research purposes, would you dare go to the Circus Circus Buffet?
Only if you do it with me.
I'm going to take that as a dare, and I'm going to maybe accept it, but I might have a little PTSD because the buffet was not always kind to me as a youth. That's the one part I don't have really fond recollection of, I'm going to be honest.
I'm over buffets as a whole, despite the fact we did a lovely episode about it, because I never want to feel that full, and I always have diarrhea, no matter what. I've been to all of them at this point except Circus Circus, and the end result is all the same.
There you go. You got to be a completist here. You got to be a completist.
Oy, oy, oy. Okay. Thank you, David. We'll see.
All right. We'll catch you at the buffet. Maybe the steakhouse. Definitely for the circus acts.
Definitely for the giant martini. Thank you, David.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sarah.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. What do you think about Circus Circus? You can always let us know or share a fond memory or an awful memory at our email address and phone number, which will be in the show notes. If you enjoyed the show, rate us and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care.
Next time we'll go to the Eureka Casino. No, not the Eureka. Let's go to the friggin' Aztec Inn. Do you even know what that is?
No.
That's a little casino in the shadow of the stratosphere that's been there forever.
I have no idea. I mean, we can go out to the real oldest one in the area out by Boulder City. What is that, the Railroad Pass Casino?
Oh, Railroad Pass is great. But yeah, Aztec Inn, it's kind of like, what if Slots of Fun had no charm and was even sketchier?
Oh, my God.
No offense to the Aztec Inn. I'm sure it's really lovely for the people who patronize it.